Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent. Match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
You watch this with the kids yet?
I'm trying to remember. Have we watched this with the kids yet? I feel like we have.
All right. During the holiday.
Well, Frankie Valli.
By the way, you get... I know, I love this album.
God,
love
it. Graceful.
I love the... I actually have... I think I have my dad's old actual record of it. And then I have... Years later, like, I bought this CD of it, so I'm very familiar with that whole album.
Everyone. There's one song that I have to buzz through. There's one scene in the movie.
Rizzo and the...
Beauty School Dropout.
Yes, yeah,
I can't watch this, man.
I can't watch this. Frenchie, not Rizzo. Yeah, Frenchie.
Yes.
Beauty School Dropout.
And that was Frankie Valli, right? Beauty School Dropout.
I love Magic Changes. Those Magic Changes.
What do you mean?
Oh, it's a great song.
Magic Changes.
Yeah, yeah. Those Magic Changes, right? Look that one up.
In Greece?
Yeah.
Give me the scene. What is it?
Is it Sha Na Na that sings that? By the way, Sha Na Na, I saw that in concert. I think it was my first ever concert in the 80s.
That was on TV, the doo-wop shop, Sha Na Na.
Bowser?
Actually, yeah, remember Bowser? You used to watch that?
I think my aunt took me to go see my mother.
What?
That was the first concert. Those Magic Changes is a great song. I'm surprised
I probably know.
It's on the soundtrack.
Well, give me what scene does it fit? I guarantee
one
I know
of the,
it.
Travolta's dancing. I want to say, is he dancing with Cha-Cha?
So this is at the dance.
Play. Yeah, I think it's at the...
Born to Hand Jive?
No.
Oh, this one I know. Born to Hand Jive.
Maybe he was dancing with Sandy at this point. I forget, but this song is a great song.
I know the song. I just didn't know the name of it. I know the song. Oh, yeah.
And
is this one of those three guys when they did three T-Birds Mooney?
That was a different song, but yeah, I love that song.
I didn't know you liked it that much.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
No, the whole album, movie, all
fantastic.
That stuff. Now, okay, one thing. We'll get back to the calls here in a second. 888-808-1019. But you've been getting on me for Boldy for saying we don't have enough time, or, you know, we didn't take the time to do the Christmas stuff.
Okay.
And meanwhile, you know, like, and I know it's some in jest, and Boldy is working all over the place, and I'm doing the SNY stuff afterwards.
Yes.
And meanwhile, you, last night...
What, are you gonna make fun of me?
Take the time to do this.
Step forward and our hands back.
Oh, this.
Okay. Rubber band.
This is social media, BT's Instagram.
Rubber band. Once we do that, and we're still back here.
Yeah.
Now, notice how my bat's not like that.
Uh-huh.
Once we get the thing.
Hey, what are you doing breaking down hitting mechanics for Colt? I see this posted on Instagram. I'm like, I wonder why this guy's got time to get 8 Christmas trees.
Oh, you know why I can do it? Because the tree's been up for a month. If the tree wasn't up, I couldn't justify doing that. And by the way, it would be wise to, if Sandy starts playing softball, play that for. It's the right thing, buddy.
I don't play any sports. That is a time to come watch that.
I tell you.
Yeah, go sing and dance and let mommy take you to it. That is a game to watch.
Go sing and dance.
Now, do you kids call you Coach BT, Coach Tierney?
Coach B.
Okay.
Coach B.
And then this is for, you do that on Instagram as like part of.
I honestly wasn't even going to do it. I was just doing some work with Colt in the basement as we do. Okay. You know, I mean, obviously we start ramping up for the season. You know, I want to give him a little time after football season, but we always do stuff, you know, and now we'll do a little bit more. And, you know, he's going to be 10 soon. He's still fairly young, but now it's a little bit more, you know, streamlined presentation, a little bit more of an adult presentation. Here's where the bat's got to be. Right. And he knows this, but, you know, I want to tweak a few things here. And while we were doing it, actually, I started recording him, not with the intention of doing any social media. And then I'm like, you know what, Colt, it's pretty good. Just hey, you hold daddy's phone, you record me.
Right.
And just so I think he's more of a visual learner like I was as well. And then you want the honest truth? When I watch it, I'm like, yeah, this is worth sharing. It's pretty good. But I did not do it with the intention of putting it on Instagram. I swear to God.
And next year, instead of maybe working your way into the booth to fill in for Susan again, you could see if you could get yourself in the bench, on a bench, maybe be a hitting coach for the Yankees. Well,
the way you make it seem, they're going to need it. So I don't think they will, but if they do, you know where to call me.
BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019.
Do I look like a weirdo in that video?
No, I think it looks pretty good. I don't know if I necessarily... You know, are you an actual hitting coach? Well, I don't know.
No, I don't profess to be a hitting coach.
You know, I was thinking about this. I never was taught, even as a kid, to hold the bat the right way. I used to just grab it.
Yeah, you mean in terms of the alignment of the knuckles versus... Yeah, you know what's crazy, Sal?
Nobody taught me that.
Me neither.
Until I got to high school and didn't make the high school team. Somebody told me I was a good defensive player.
I know you can pick it. I saw you play a little second. But here's the thing. It's funny. I think that there's almost too much information. And then we'll get to the calls. Yeah. Like, when I was young, and if you want to see that, it's on my Instagram account. If you want to work with your kids, whatever. Take it or leave it. It's there if you want it.
Yeah, Cashman Boone, take notes.
Hey, Mendy. Hey. Right now you got nobody behind Soto, so you better get whoever's back there ready so you can watch as well, Mendy. No, but the bottom line is, I think that there's too much stuff. I think kids and even collegiate minor leaguers, they're inundated with too much stuff, whether it's data and over-reliance on the numbers, spin rate if you're a pitcher. And I think the best approach, this is what I had as a kid, see the ball, hit the ball. I know that's so simple. If it's outside, as a lefty hitter, hit it the other way. Take the ball back through the box, do that. But the problem is, you know, you got all these people with facilities and lessons, and they've got to judge. And by the way, some of the stuff that they do is really good. All I would say is to young dads and moms out there, don't get too wrapped up in that stuff. Just learn how to square the ball up, dude. That's it.
Let's stay with the baseball theme. Jordan is in Hoboken. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, BT, can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes.
Hey, awesome. Yeah, so I appreciate you having me on. Big fan of the program. But I'm a transplant here in the Northeast. I'm originally from the South and grew up a Braves fan. And just wanted to note, I think with this Max Fried signing for the Yankees, this guy's going to quickly become a huge fan favorite. He really just a no-frills, no BS. He just gets out there and shoves consistently. So, you know, with that, you pair him with a guy like Gerrit Cole, and that is really going to be a formidable 1-2 punch, and obviously there with Hill on the back end. But needless to say, I think the really just the purpose of the call is just to say watch Max's personality, watch his demeanor, watch his approach. It is second to none. I mean, it's akin to, in my mind, somebody like Greg Maddux that just goes out there day in and day out and throws – absolute just nasty stuff.
Field disposition. Jordan, then thank you for the call, and we appreciate the kind words. Field disposition well as
yes.
well. I told you before the Yankees signed him, or even thought the Yankees would be in on him,
mm-hmm.
he would be the one guy I would pay for. I'm not into big contracts, long-term deals for pitchers. The reason why I don't think this one matters, BT, is because for the Yankees to get him at a lower AAV, you just tack on the eighth year. Like, it's not a big deal. They were going to commit the same money over the course of 7 years, so they probably just gave the extra year and spread it out, which favors them, not the player. But I think they got the best pitcher on the market when you talk about investing long-term. I would not invest in Corbin Burns. Freed, to me, would be that guy.
You've said that about Burns and Freed for a while. I'm pumped the Yankees have them. Now they've got to address third base. Not that you can't survive with Jazz over there, but you know where I stand. I want to get Jazz back to second, and I want to get somebody who could pick it over third. Because, listen, I know that some Yankee fans who watch the Mets play the Braves, they've seen Max Fried pitch for the occasional game of the week, but I don't know how many Yankee fans really know what kind of stuff he's bringing to the table. He's not 98, 99. He's more 92, more 93, 94.
with a cutter, with a slider, and that slider from a lefty coming into those righties, that's a lot of ground balls to third base. I know it seems like a small thing now, but if you're talking about what really plagued the Yankees a year ago, the inability to run the bags and catch the baseball, you have to have somebody at third base that could catch the baseball.
Bob Nightingale tweeted out a little while ago, the Yankees are at a stalemate with Chicago Cubs for Cody Bellinger,
yeah,
they have turned their attention to the first base market.
Let's go.
They are engaged in talks with four free agent first basemen. Alonzo, Walker, Carlos Santana, and Paul Goldschmidt.
Santana's a one-year deal. Goldschmidt will be a one-year deal. I would think Pete, because he's younger, would be 4 years. I don't want Pete.
Or more.
I think 5 years for the Mets. I don't think the Yankees would give him right. five, but I think Christian Walker would be three.
Are you more open to Pete now?
No, I don't want Pete Alonzo.
Yeah, it just doesn't make any sense. I'm not buying it. I'm calling their bluff.
I don't
I'm not
want
buying that they want Pete. It's back to the Giants stuff. Shane and Dable been a major topic today. Michael's in Fairhaven. What's up, Michael?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, Mike.
So I've got a bunch of stuff, but I'm going to try and go quick. Someone got called about McKinney and Barkley. Like, I just want to tell that guy to like pound sand. You can't pay those guys if you don't have a foundation. But Shane first, I looked up his three drafts.
Mm-hmm.
His first draft, not great. You know, you want Kayvon and Evan Neal, you know, to be better. Wandale, Watt, Bellinger, and McFadden have been great. He had 90 days from when he hired to that first draft to get things together. And I don't know if you guys saw pictures of the old war room. It was like pen and paper, clipboard stuff. So he had to fix that, do all his research, whatever. And Evan Neal, for all the slander that he has, he's actually an elite run blocker. He's PFF grade of 4.
Yeah, I don't care. Michael, you can't come on with the PFF grade. We have Baldy on who played offensive line. He watches the tape. He basically said, and he didn't say, I don't want to paraphrase, but like it's embarrassing the way that Evan Neal's plays on the offensive line. So I
fair enough.
Yeah, I mean, come on. You can't give him. You want to say Thibodeau could be a player? Sure, but he's got to be better. Mm-hmm. He's got to be more impactful, more consistent. You want to give credit to some of the other ones. I can't. Evan Neal is as big a bust as you could possibly have in that spot when you're drafting him.
Fair enough. So the first draft trending towards D, C minus territory, not great. Next draft, not good. Not going to talk about it. But this current class of rookies, awesome. All playing, all, you know, demonstrating right. value for the team.
It's better. It's definitely better.
It's better.
Okay. Well, so 1 for 3. I mean, you get to keep that average up. That doesn't get you in the Hall of Fame in football. And thank you for the call. Baseball might be a better average. In football, it's not going to do the job, BT. You got to be better than that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I do think the point about, you know, we use the word antiquated specific to how the Giants run their organization. That came up in the conversation about Sanders yeah. and going back to Eli and some other things about the some perceptions by some about the team. I'll tell you what, their war room and their draft approach was most definitely antiquated in terms of binders and not even digital. I mean, you go back to the Gettleman stuff, and no disrespect, the man was, well, he was scouting dinosaurs were pulling up in the parking lot. I mean, it's just a long time ago. So, and I say that because when you have to overhaul something to that extent, it almost doesn't allow you to focus solely on the job that you're actually hired to do, which is to identify talent, because you're juggling the modernization of the franchise and, oh yeah, trying to find some talent. So I'm not saying it's an excuse that the first two drafts were bombs, maybe a little context for some.
And by the way, like, it's two drafts. Yeah. 2 out of 3, if you mess up on that.
Meatloaf says 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Well, it depends on what you're talking about. In the NFL draft.
Do you like Meatloaf? No. Oh, God.
Well, what's his
you
other
like
one?
Four non-blondes,
I could do anything for love. I mean, yeah. Meatloaf is all right. Well, what's your favorite Meatloaf song?
And we'll probably the one. Probably I would do anything for love, but I won't do that. Yeah, I mean, I know that's a very common one, but yeah. I love that one. Like he was hardcore. Meatloaf.
Didn't that one come out in like the early 90s?
Yes.
Okay, so that's why I
think it was Beauty and the Beast, right?
But he was out.
Well, then he actually had Beauty and the Beast.
Meatloaf was a thing before that, right?
Meatloaf. I think Meatloaf went back to the 70s.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
No, he'd been around for a long time.
Right.
He died fairly recently. Meatloaf.
Did he?
Yeah. Meatloaf was a legend.
What was his real name?
You a Meatloaf guy, Huff?
I would guess Dove was more of a Meatloaf guy.
No.
No?
I'm not a Meatloaf guy.
Neither of you are Meatloaf guys?
No.
Dove?
The first album was great. After that, he was trying to recreate his old magic.
There we go.
What's his real name, Huff? Can you look up Meatloaf's real name? What a nickname, huh? Meatloaf.
Well, I don't think it's a nickname. I think it was self-given. I think that's what he called himself.
Meatloaf?
Yeah, it's not like he was on stage and somebody said, hey, look at this slob, look at this meatloaf, this piece of meatloaf.
I remember Chris Farley's parody of Meatloaf on SNL.
Was it good?
Yeah, I mean, everything Chris Farley did was great. Yeah, especially when it comes to that with, you know, Meatloaf, a guy of that size. Hoff?
Michael Lee Aday.
Where does he get Meatloaf from, does it say?
I'm curious now, too. Yeah. I'm very curious about that.
Yeah, anyway, hey, what made us get on that topic?
I don't know.
Oh, 2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah.
I don't remember that song.
Really? Oh, that's a good one.
Two out of 3 ain't bad by Meatloaf.
Yeah, it's an awesome one.
No, but when
you're
talking about drafts, it's not very good. Brendan is calling from Clifton, New Jersey. What's up, Brendan?
Hey, how's it going, guys? John Mayer really should not have any influence on whether Brian Daboll comes back or not. We talk all the time about how ownership should stay in its lane and not get overly involved. So with that said, Mara has to make a decision on Shane and whether he wants to bring him back or not. And then it's still Shane's decision on whether Ryan Daboll comes back or not.
Well, what do you think that decision would be, given their relationship in Buffalo? Now, it might be the right move, but it might not be.
There's been 3 years, that have passed since they got hired together. We have no idea what kind of relationship they have.
But there's no reports that it's been decaying. I mean, they want to win more, but they're good. Yeah,
there's no reports that they have a gloomy relationship either.
Well, I don't know that there's when things are good, there's usually not a report confirming that things are good. There's reports that things are breaking down.
And by the way, let's say it's not a good relationship. So what, Brendan? You're going to keep one and get rid of the other?
Yes.
Why? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
It's not necessarily that I think one should happen or one should not happen, but it should absolutely be Joe Shane's. It should be John Mayer's decision to either keep or to retain or fire Shane.
Yeah.
If he chooses to retain him,
then let him make the decision.
100% up to Shane whether Daboll comes back or not. John Mayer should not have
an interesting point.
Power over Daboll.
It's an interesting point, Brendan. Thanks for the call. It is an interesting point because if you go to listen, we always use the word empower. When you hire somebody, empower them, let them do their job. And if Mara anybody else, but Mara here is heavy-handed and he's trying to influence whether it's drafting somebody or getting rid of somebody, no, that's not the right move because we all strongly surmise that Mara was a little heavy-handed in the extension for Daniel Jones, although he did let them do their job with Saquon, even though we all know he didn't really want to let him go. He let them do that when it was all said and done. But I get what Brendan's saying. Like, Mara owns the team. Now, his first decision is, do I believe my general manager belongs to be back? If the decision and the answer to that question is yes, well, then it should be, in theory, up to Brendan's point, and I agree, it should be up to the GM to determine whether or not he wants the coach back.
Correct.
I get that.
Correct. Not in year 3. You want to tell me year 6?
Still pretty early.
That's what I'm saying.
Meaning in year 6 it would be more defined, so they shouldn't have the power. I see it the other way.
Well, what if Shane, though, established himself?
Oh, okay, but he hasn't. I got you. I got you there.
And the reason why I say that is Dimitroff, we just were talking about him. He got interviewed by the Jets. Use him as an example. They had great success with his first hire in Mike Smith. They got to a point where they, as an organization, felt they needed a new head coach. It wasn't, they both have to go.
Yep.
Because there was reason to believe they were both good. It was just they didn't think Mike Smith could get them over the top to win a Super Bowl.
So they let
Dimitroff pick the next guy. But Dimitroff was great for years before that. Mm-hmm. He earned it. You're going to tell me that right now? First of all, two things. I believe that if Joe Shane could pick the head coach, it would be Brian Daboll. I'm not buying that there's some kind of divide or fallout in the relationship. I believe if Shane had his choice, he would stay course with Brian Daboll. The second part of that, there's no way I would let Joe Shane, based on what he's done here in 3 years, get to pick another head coach now. No chance. What has he done that would make him earn that right?
And that's what we keep coming back to. If he had distinguished himself a little bit more, and there was more evidence that Shane was better at his job thus far than Daboll, well, then you can justify, all right, you know, Coach Dabes, we tried it, didn't work out. Friendship aside, I got to do what's right for the franchise, do my job, I've got to let you go. And then obviously, you know, if he had a couple of more drafts that were good and the talent base was much better, then you could justify, all right, now you pick who you want. It's almost impossible to do that.
Your official station to talk Jets. The Fan, 101.9 FM and always live on the free Odyssey app. Download it today. It's time for BT and Sal to jam it up the A-gap.
Hi, BT. a week in review here in the NFL. Only 3 weeks to go. Hard to believe. And I'm looking forward to doing the power rankings with you on Thursday because there's probably going to be some changes for both of us amongst those five. The number one thing for me, in general, we talk about the sloppy play. But did you see that? We didn't talk about it yesterday. There were two times this weekend where players dropped the football before crossing the goal line. Jonathan Taylor did it for the Colts, which became a big thing. The Bengals did it. I forget to say the name of the player, but a defensive player on the Bengals did it. Dropped the ball right before the goal line. Like, that is unacceptable. It just can't happen. Taylor said, oh, it should never happen. He's right. It should never happen. Then why'd you do it? If I were a head coach, I would have a rule telling every player that when they catch a touchdown, you are to bring the ball back to me. That would prevent everybody from doing it. Make it like it's glued to your hands and your body. Hand it off to me after you get in the end zone. The ref says touchdown. Then you can bring it to me on the sideline because that just can't happen in any way, shape, or form.
You know, I love him as a running back, but that's an unforgivable mistake. That's just, you know, that's just showboating at the highest level. That's trying to put on a show and kind of losing sight of where you are. It should never happen. It's ridiculous. Now, I've got my first one here. What derailed the Eagles' season last year? Probably chemistry, right?
So do you, seemed that way, right?
Yeah. I mean, there was the Sirianni and obviously some bickering in the locker room, and it just went off the rails. Well, it was thought to be, even though they were winning, but that Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown relationship was deemed irreparable. Guys going on radio down there in Philly, and everybody kind of taking a guess, you know, was it over a woman or who knew? I mean, just when you hear guys saying it's just unforgivable guy to guy, what else can you really think? And what you do is you try to fix it by shoving the ball down A.J. Brown's throat, which is what they did. 11 targets, 8 receptions, 110 yards, a touchdown. And did you notice the celebration? Did you see the celebration between Jalen Hurts and A.J. Brown?
Yes, I did. It still felt a little
choreographed.
Yeah.
It might have, but contrived, at least that could thaw whatever, you know, has gotten in the way of their once very, very, very warm relationship. So, yeah, I'm sure that they were doing that for the cameras to kind of mitigate the dissenters outside the building. But whatever it takes, hey, it worked.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of, we could go over every game. To me, Tua was awful. Two things that stood out just from different games. I don't need to go into great detail. Tua Tagovailoa was awful in that game against the Texans where the Dolphins had a chance to still be a postseason team. And he's just throwing the ball up for grabs every time. He can be accurate at times and look like the best of them when he's on. When he's off, he looks terrible. And then of note, BT, the Chargers getting blown out, which doesn't happen, and Baker Mayfield and the Bucs lighting them up. Those two things, just from a game standpoint, I'll have one more after you go here, but
yep,
those two things from a game standpoint stood out to me.
I'll tell you, somebody who never really gets mentioned, understood, I mean, maybe if we're doing a national show or a different part of the country, he would be mentioned a little bit here, but I think this coach deserves a lot of credit. D'Amico Ryans has pieced this thing together out there in Houston. I'm not saying that they're going anywhere in the postseason. That's not my point. But the mark of a good leader of men, the mark of a very good coach, even though he's only in year two, is when you are bombarded with injuries and you're given excuses to lower the standard of play, you still find a way. I know it's not a very good division. Trust me, I get that. But D'Amico Ryans has been there for 2 years, and he's now secured two straight divisional titles. And they started off very well. Then both of their receivers went down. They've had some other injuries, including on the defense. They can't stop the run that well. Their offensive line's a disaster. And again, you're a product of who you play, and their division is not good. But D'Amico Ryans is a good coach.
Well, off that note, how about Todd Bowles?
Yeah, it's a tough one.
I know it's a tough one.
I respect Todd Bowles.
I mean, the Bucs with Baker Mayfield, like, the knock on Bowles is, all right, he's going to go there with Brady, a ready-made situation. Obviously, hasn't been great for Tampa, but now Brady is left. They get Baker Mayfield in there. They play good defense. Their offense can light it up. They're the best team in the NFC South by far. I don't care what the records say. They're one game better than Atlanta, the pathetic Falcons, who barely won last night against the Raiders. Todd Bowles should get some credit. And then my final point was going to be just that. Desmond Ridder, I touched on a little bit with Baldy. Dude, this is a guy who was a starting quarterback for the pathetic Falcons a year ago. Got Arthur Smith fired. Now they're playing against him and they can barely beat him. And he is the worst quarterback. And he's throwing the ball up for grabs. He's afraid to throw it. Desmond Ridder can't be in the NFL. What the Raiders put out on the field last night, really in general, what the NFL put out on the field last night between Kirk Cousins, who's another awful quarterback. What a mistake that is. It's Michael Penix time. It should be in Atlanta if they want to potentially make the playoffs here. But what that game did, to me, set football back. Like, you brought this up the other day, saying if you enjoyed the NFL this year.
Mm-hmm.
And certain parts of it, I have. But when you actually think about the quality of play, with the penalties, with the poor quarterback play, with the officiating, it's not very good. And I'll tell you something. On Christmas, the NFL could kiss my ass. I'm not watching those games at 1 o'clock on Christmas Day. Like, I'm not going to be a slave to it anymore. They shove it down our throats. It's a product that is inferior to what it used to be, and yet they oversaturate the market with, oh, yeah, games at 1 and games at 4. Screw you and your family and inconveniencing you.
Yeah.
We're going to put these games out here. Well, guess what? This is where I punch back next week. You could play games all weekend. I'm off. I'm not watching them. I don't care. If it's on, it's going to be background noise. Steelers, Chiefs, I'd love to watch that game. I'm not doing it on Christmas at 1 o'clock.
Attaboy. Attaboy. Are you going to check in on the Knicks who tip off at noon on Christmas Day?
That's possibly.
More of a, yeah, exactly. So that's more of a tradition going back to Ewing and the Bulls back in the day. And obviously, I always loved that as a kid. Yeah. I mean, the NFL at some point later on in the day, because I've got a lot of, you know, I've got some family coming in, whatever. It'll be on in the background.
You mentioned it's different with the Knicks. You could throw the Knicks on.
And you don't have to be wrapped up in the every like single
in.
Possession.
You're not betting it and really intense with the games like the NFL.
You make some money on the NBA. Take the over. And a lot of three-pointers attempted and made these days. But no, I'm not going to be, you know, immersed in the NFL on Christmas Day. I'm going to enjoy my family. I'm going to enjoy some food, have a little bit of wine, do a little cooking, do all that stuff. My third thing, if I said to you, Sal, give me general statistical parameters for Aaron Rodgers in August to be a successful season for the Jets. Yards. Give me a ballpark yards.
Total?
Yeah, just total yards.
For the
without
year?
Thinking too much, yeah.
3,500?
Okay, how about...
4,000?
Okay, how about touchdowns? In the neighborhood of how many touchdown
over
passes?
Over 25.
Okay, and how many picks, obviously?
You under 10.
Okay, right now, Aaron Rodgers is on pace for 3,950 yards, so basically 4,000. He's on pace for 30 touchdowns and 10 picks. Now,
30 and 10?
30 and 10. I mean, that, you know, and you were actually saying this probably more than I was.
That he's not the problem.
Well, yeah, my punchback on that was always, he might not be the number one problem, but he's not often enough the answer, and he was brought here to be the answer.
He throws for 30 and 10, dude.
I mean, it's kind of tough now. He's getting really red hot when the season means nothing. Again, there's always context here. He's had 13 touchdowns and one pick in his last, you know, 5-6 games, and everybody knows that the Jets are out of it. The weather's gotten warmer. Down in Miami looked better. Down in Jacksonville, Jaguars stink. Warm weather. He's putting up some yards, putting up some touchdowns. Okay. But he has not been nearly as bad as people have thought. And if nothing else, at least gives the credence, and we've had the conversation more as we get a little deeper into it here in the offseason, the viability about running it back with Rodgers for one more time in 25. He has not been as bad as people think.
Depending on who the head coach is going to be, I certainly wouldn't want a young first-time head coach in here with Aaron Rodgers. All right, we'll finish up with your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019, BT and Sal on the Fan.
Call of the Day with Brendan Tierney and Sal Licata on The Fan.
Today's Call of the Day is brought to you by Volvo Cars Ramsey. Finding the Volvo you want is easy at Volvo Cars Ramsey. And by Edison Heating and Cooling, New Jersey's heating experts.
Did you get the Christmas tree, buddy?
It's funny you should ask that. Buddy. So who's the guy that said, oh, no problemo, go right down in town, there's a spot open. So I called them before my SNY show yesterday at 5:30. I'm like, yeah, I need to get a Christmas tree. What time are you guys open till? Oh, sorry, we close at 6. Close at 6? It's Christmas season! My show starts at 6. I don't even get home till 8 o'clock. Close at 6.
Sounds like a no, by the way, so you don't have it yet.
I do.
Oh, you got one! Go ahead. Let's hear it.
Mitchell in Fort Lee just dropped it off at my house.
No, he didn't.
Yes, he did. He offered yesterday.
Didn't.
He heard us talking about it. He said, Sal, I'll get you the tree if you want.
No way.
Lou is in South Florida. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. How's it going? New listener, first-time caller.
Nice.
I love you guys. You guys are absolutely great.
Thank you, Lou.
My wife is cracking up at Sal's ineptitudes as a husband during the holidays.
The man of the hour that helped me out as you made fun of me yesterday, as I have not had the time to find a Christmas tree. Mitchell in Fort Lee went this morning, picked one up, dropped it off. How we doing, Mitch? We're all good with the tree? It's all safe and sound?
Well, great, Sal. You get it home at 8 o'clock and you start decorating the tree. Hi, BT. How are you, my friend?
What's up, Mitch?
Did you put it up in the stand or what?
Well, yes, it's, I didn't put it on the stand, Sal, but I didn't get the keys for that. No one was home, so I couldn't help you on that. You'll have to do that on your own.
I actually forgot to ask Mitch, BT. I needed... I needed an outlet, an outdoor extension cord, so I could plug in these trees that my wife bought for the stoop.
I've made that mistake, too. They've got to be the outdoor ones if you need it for outdoors. Yeah. No, that's going to be an issue. I got you.
I don't want to mess around. Actually, on my way home tonight, because Home Depot is open at a decent hour, I could stop
They'll
and get
accommodate
that.
You.
Although I would have sent Mitch. You know, you get to stop by anyway.
Oh, come on,
you might as well pick that up. My wife's birthday is coming up. I got to get a card. Mitch, can we get
that? You sent this guy to the pharmacist to pick up medicine for the family? God forbid when they're sick next time. Oh, my God,
that's
Mitch.
That's a bad idea.
Draw the line, Mitch.
Those places now deliver, which is crazy.
Everything delivers, which is why I said you should have delivered a tree.
I know. Well, I did look into it, but it says like it takes 5-6 days.
Really?
Yeah, and then at least the initial like look, I was like, God, does Home Depot deliver this tree? And then I'm thinking like, I want to go see the tree for myself. Even Mitch was like, oh, you know, this place didn't have the tree. I go, bro, you got to send me a picture.
No, don't tell me you had him snap it away and send it to you so you can say, no way.
Look at the guy's face.
See, how many pictures did he send? How many different ones?
He told me two trees. The first one, I was like, that's, come on.
A little skimpy? Let's see.
Look at the guy's face in the picture.
It looks like Eli Manning, doesn't it?
That's what Hoff and, what's his name? And Mitch said. Yeah,
I don't know about this one. That's pretty weak. Which way are we going? Are we going the other way?
That's it.
That's the only one?
Yeah. That's the one. This was the keeper. I was like,
oh, that's the keeper. I thought that was the skimpy one.
No, this is the keeper. The first one, that's fine for me. Yeah, well, you like
a little uneven, a little sparse in certain spots.
Yeah,
at this point, you got one.
Beckers I'm not going to start there. So here was the real moment of truth. I saw it. I'm like, I don't know if I necessarily picked that out, but it seems serviceable. Go ahead, go with it. And then I sent it to my wife. She liked it. So that's
there you go. Did you Photoshop it before you sent it to her?
Yeah.
No, fill in the sparse
just
spots.
Make sure it's I'm just worried about it being the right size. He's like, 8-foot tree. I go, no, I told you 8-foot ceiling. That means 7-foot tree max, I think.
Sal, if it's, you said 8-foot ceiling?
I think so, yeah.
All right. I think so. I got you. 8 feet. Oh, God. So let's say the star is about a foot.
Yeah.
I mean, it should be a 6-foot tree. And then the stand will present it as 7 feet. And then the extra foot that you'll have, I don't know how you don't know any of this stuff.
About that tonight.
How do you not know this stuff? The way your dad was a blue collar, I just don't get this about
you. Well, you know why? Because he would always be like, get out of my way. I'm going to do it. And not that I really cared to learn, but he would always do it. Although I have done this prior to this move to Jersey. I used to do this myself all the time.
You did, okay.
Even in apartments, I like getting the tree. I enjoyed going out, getting it, put it on, like you said.
100%.
All right, give the guy the tip, load it up on top. We go to multiple places, spin it around. I go with my gloves. I might get that thing for the roof of the car because those needles.
Get the sap on the fingers, know that you're really down in the trenches there. Here you go.
Cut this off. I make sure that the thing's straight. I don't want any issues.
All right.
I mean, now I just didn't have the time this year.
Do you put aspirin in it?
I heard you say that, but we need something.
You got to put aspirin in it. It keeps it alive. Just one, and don't oversaturate it.
That's the problem. I think last year I think we
too heavy on the water or not enough water.
No, because the water
drowned it out.
Dumb it to say. BT and Sal, the fan. Brandon is calling from Las Vegas. What's up, Brandon?
Hey guys, what's going on? Love the show. Listen every morning on the Odyssey app.
Nice.
I just want to make 2 points, if you'll have me, on Dable and Shane. I think it'd be a disservice getting rid of both of them. First on Dable, if you guys look back in the beginning of the season, I mean, first of all, look at what he's done with Jones. Jones used to be a turnover machine. He used to throw picks, get fumbled, and he fixed that. So that's my answer to him being the QB whisperer. And then in the first few games, if you look at the stats, the Giants were the top three team in time of possession. I mean, if you watch the Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, that's what they're doing. They're keeping the ball and they're moving down the field. And it's just not his fault. He's got all these incompetent quarterbacks that can't punch it into the end zone. And then on Shane, everyone wants to ignore the fact that when he took over the job, he was in cap space nightmare, and he's been having to manage that for 2 years, and now he's actually to the point where he has the freedom to do his job. So if you get rid of him now, he can't. It's a total disservice to both of us.
There you go. All right, so Brandon wants to keep both. I mean, like I said, as long as you either keep both or fire both, I'm okay with that. I wouldn't want to keep one and then get rid of the other. And the way the losses continue to pile up, BT, I think it just gets harder and harder to say that you would keep either of them, really. Bill is in Danbury. What's up, Bill?
Yeah, I was just saying, Meatloaf, he's got his name from, I'm not sure, I think he was an all-county lineman. I don't know if he was offense or defense, but he got it from his coach.
Really? He looks like
called him Meat.
Yeah.
And then one day the coach called him Meatloaf, and that was it.
All right. I mean, he looks like he played some football. I was thinking that before.
And we're talking about Meatloaf earlier, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Chris is calling from Bay Shore. Chris?
Yeah, hey, guys. I just got two things, if you will. First of all, BT, I think you're absolutely right. You know, the way we teach kids is too complicated. I was lucky enough to play for Rick Wolf in college, who was on your station.
Oh, wow. Wow. Rest in peace, Rick.
Yeah, he used to produce his shows. I love Rick.
Yeah, good guy. Great guy.
And I grew up watching his father on News 12, Bob Wolf.
Yeah, that's right.
Tremendous guy, tremendous family, and just a great coach. And he simplified it so much. He said, as hitters, you have two jobs. You got to get a good pitch and you got to hit it hard. And everything else he individually looked at. If somebody had, you know, a bat speed issue or whatever, but, you know, the technical stuff is way too overblown for sure.
Yeah.
And he knew that ahead of his time. He was a great coach. But as far as the Giants go, I think that they have to go. I think that the way to go is an X player. I think those guys are having a lot of success. I got a name like somebody like Chase Blackburn, you know, a guy who, former All-Pro Giant guy, who's coaching the NFL for somebody. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that seems like a bit of a jump there. I mean, you don't, and I'm not taking a shot at you, but you say hire the guy, you don't even know where he's coaching, which means do you even know what kind of job he's doing?
Right.
I'm not saying that to sound like a jerk, but if you're going to anoint somebody as the future coach of the Giants, you don't even know where he is now. Do you know if he's doing a good job?
And if you're going to hire a former player, like, why wouldn't you hire one that's more established? Whether it's Vrabel, whether it's Deion even. Like, there are way more exciting hires. Not just because, oh, I'm going to go to a former Giant player.
Yeah.
I still believe in just hiring a good head coach. I'm evolved and open to the thought of, you know, hiring some of these younger guys, maybe with less experience, that would be, then it would be ideal. To me, the home run hire, if you're going in a new direction. See, the Giants are appealing, BT, because they could start from scratch and have a top pick. Therefore, I would go with Ben Johnson if he's available. The Jets are a totally different story where I think they're more ready to win now, and I would go with a more experienced head coach to pair with Aaron Rodgers. So I do think it's different, but the idea of selling Brian Daboll again?
Yeah.
As Shane and Daboll, based on what exactly?
It's a tough sell. And here we are 4 hours later. We haven't come up with anything concrete that we try to say, okay, this is absolutely why both men should return outside of continuity or, you know, give him another chance. It's not like, look at this unit. This unit's beyond reproach. This part of the team is amazing. This part of the team has rapidly progressed since the start of the season. It's just really been one of the ugliest, most non-competitive seasons in the history of the Giants.
The only answer is stability and still TBD on what you think these guys are.
Correct.
You want to maintain stability,
yep.
And we're still not 100% sure. For me, that's not enough to justify keeping them. Ed is in Rockaway. What's up, Ed?
Eddie.
BT made a comment before that Aaron Rodgers was brought in to be the answer. I think that he was brought in to be a game manager, and our defense has regressed tremendously. Our running game has regressed tremendously. And if Rodgers came in and just played competent football, this should be a 10-win team. This should be a playoff team.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't...
Yeah. No, I don't mean that Aaron Rodgers was brought here to throw for 5,000 yards and 46 touchdowns. I don't mean that. But the expectation was when the Jets were down a score or within a couple of points of taking a lead that Aaron Rodgers would punch the ball in the end zone and he's 0-5.
Yeah. I mean, look, he was supposed to be better. The Jets were supposed to be better. He wasn't supposed to be a game manager. No way. But I don't think that Rodgers is the main culprit. He hasn't been as good as I thought he would be, even coming off that injury. I still had question marks at his age coming off that injury of how good he would be. And early on, he wasn't. You know, throwing the interceptions in the game in London against Minnesota, I was like,
that was the bad
Rodgers
one.
Doesn't do that. He just doesn't throw. Rodgers in a bad year would throw 7 interceptions. In a game, I don't remember the last time he did that, but he threw the 3 picks against Minnesota. But he started to look a little bit better here. That just wouldn't sell me, BT, the way that he's looked as of late. It's not like, I'm changing my mind on Rodgers. For me, I just believe that even this version of Rodgers, dating back weeks ago, is still better than anything the Jets might have as a stopgap, quote-unquote stopgap next year. And with the right head coach, you can ideally do what they were supposed to do the last 2 years. Build a foundation of a football team that could be a playoff team while also having an eye on the future and trying to draft and develop the right way, but with the foundation in place as opposed to just stripping it down again.
Again. And think about how much we've complained about Rodgers this year. And listen, some of the grievances have been on point, and I don't think he's been very accountable all the time. I've said this. You know, I think too often the finger went in a different direction, the thumb didn't go to his chest, which bothers me. But you know, he's also putting, this doesn't say much, but he's putting together one of the best Jets seasons ever by a quarterback. Right. And really, outside of the Arizona game, I mean, the Denver game was in torrential downpour. They lost 10-9. They lost 23-17 in London. They lost by three against the Buffalo Bills. You know, they were playing very well against the Steelers. And then I believe that was the game where the pick off of Garrett Wilson's shoulder pads in the flats, which changed everything. Then they lose by three to the Pats because they couldn't stop Jacoby Brissett. You know, then they beat the Texans. The Cardinals game was gross. They lose by a point to the Colts. And then they lost by five to Seattle. Then they lost in overtime to the Dolphins. So, I mean, this, and nobody wants to hear it, but boy, this, it should be such a different season. But it's not a different season because they've got so many different deficiencies.
I'm torn now.
With?
Well, when I go home tonight, obviously I have to, I mean, I guess I got to bring the tree in and put it up.
No, I mean, that would be nice.
But I want to watch that Rodgers documentary.
Is that on tonight?
Is it really on tonight? Out there today. We got to watch that. You going to watch it tonight?
I'm going to, you know, you asked me about this. I'm not going to watch it tonight. I'm doing the St. John's game. St. John's opens up the Big East season, by the way, tonight.
Where is that? Is it
it's
Gardner?
In Queens. Okay. It's in Queens. Playing DePaul, a game that they certainly should win. Although I think DePaul is maybe a little better than they, I mean, they're usually horrendous. They're no longer horrendous. They could shoot the three. If St. John's guards the three-point line, they'll win by 15, 18 points. They should.
I'll take the shift and watch.
You know, no, that's Rogers something stuff. I want to watch. Like, okay. No, we only take the shifts when it's something we just don't want to watch. Like the Giants playing football or the Jets playing football. Okay. I actually want to watch it. It's more of a morbid curiosity. I still find it interesting. And I've got no hate toward Aaron Rodgers. Just a little disappointment.
Yeah. All right. Maybe I'll put the tree up. All right. That does it for us. Thanks, everybody, who listened and called. We appreciate each and every one of you. Thanks to Dove. Thanks to Hoff as well. Be back at it tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., as the Yankees unveil Max Fried.
Let's go. Get the shrimp.
From him, a little Yankee day tomorrow on the Fan. Evan and Tiki, they're coming up next.